I want to encourage you to have your Bible open to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. That's the first passage we're going to look at in detail in just a moment as we're getting started with our first hour. We have devoted this hour of worship to looking at the subject of zeal and looking at it under the specific heading of being zealous for good works, that last line of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We're spending a few weeks looking at being zealous and what that means, and then we're going to go on and look at some of the good works that we need to be zealous in doing. Today, we're going to be looking at the zeal of Jesus. We have, in this series, we've defined zeal as great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. You could use the word passion there. You could use the word drive there. That's what we're talking about with zeal. In the New Testament, the word zeal is translated from the Greek word zelos, which means to be hot or to heat. And I have associated zeal with fire. And we've used that picture the last few weeks as we've been talking about zeal. And I want to continue doing that. Zeal is that burning. It's that fire. It's that stirring up, that activity. Let's picture zeal in that way. I have a hard time, God be honest with you, I have a hard time taking that picture of a roaring fire, of something that is active, something that is consuming and stirring around, and using that to describe Jesus. Does that sound like Jesus to you? When we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus as being gentle. A broken reed he will not bruise. A smoking flax he will not extinguish. That was what Isaiah the prophet said about the Messiah. Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, in extending the great invitation, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What does he say about himself? "I am gentle and lowly of heart." That's how Jesus described himself. But that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have zeal. That doesn't mean that he wasn't driven by a burning zeal, because as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you come to spend more time with the Savior, you see that zeal. You see that zeal, that driving, burning passion that was behind him in everything that he did. Jesus is our perfect example in all things. 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 21 says, "He left an example for us to follow." That's true of everything with the life of Jesus, including zeal. So what I want to do in this lesson, as we're looking at zeal, I want us to take a look at Jesus. And I want us to look at where his zeal came from. What was it that drove him? And we're going to look at two things. Two things that drove Jesus. Two things that he was zealous about, two things that fueled his zeal. We're going to learn this, and hopefully we're going to learn to imitate this. First, Jesus had a great zeal for his Father's honor. Jesus had a great zeal for his Father's honor. And to see this, let's turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we have here the beginning of our Lord's ministry, his three-year ministry. And he goes to Jerusalem, and he's going to go there at the time of Passover and go into the temple and cleanse the temple. Now, this is the first of two times that Jesus does this. The other Gospels that record this are recording the time he did this the week before he was crucified. But John shows us this is where his ministry is starting out, that he does this at the beginning of his ministry. Now, as we read verses 13 through 17, what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you to paint a picture in your mind of this scene. Let's say that you're directing a movie, and you're putting together how this scene is going to look. So let's look at these details, let's look at the action, and I want you to paint this scene in your mind. John chapter 2, verse 13. "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." If you look at the word zeal in a concordance, you're going to find this is the only time the word zeal is used in connection with Jesus. And here it is with him doing something that is very un-Jesus-like, isn't it? Picture the scene. It's Passover. Jerusalem is packed with Jews, worshipers who have come from all over, even from different parts of the world. And Jesus goes into the temple. And the temple here isn't that inner sanctuary where the priests go in and they're before the lampstand and the showbread and the altar of incense. No, this is the greater part of the temple. And he goes in, and what does he find? He finds people there doing business. The text specifies that there were oxen and sheep and doves. And I want you to picture this. If you've got these animals there and you've got them for sale, that means you've got to keep them there. And the reason they would have been selling these animals was because of the people traveling to worship a great distance. They wouldn't bring an ox with them. Instead, they would bring the money to buy an ox there and offer that to the Lord. And there was nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with this is that it's happening in the temple. So picture this. It's very busy. It's like a flea market atmosphere. And you've got these animals there, and they're being kept there, so you've probably got pens that they're in. Or you've got places where they're tied up. You've got some straw. You've got some feed. Well, after you feed these animals, what's left behind? You've got manure in the temple. You've got money changers with their tables out there exchanging currency. Again, the people who had traveled from outside of Jerusalem, when they pay the temple tax, it has to be paid with Jewish money. So there'd be that exchange going on there. Jesus makes a whip. He makes a whip and he goes and he drives all the people out of the temple, kicking over the tables, throwing the money into the floor, driving the animals out as well. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is sending a clear statement. Get these things out of my Father's house. They don't belong here. What is it that has upset Jesus? Why is he acting this way? Because they were doing business in a place that was dedicated to honor God and in a place that was set aside for worship and service, spiritual service and prayer. And they turned it into a stockyard. They turned it into a bank. And Jesus says, not in my Father's house. Now again, this is very un-Jesus-like to us. He's supposed to be gentle and meek and lowly. And here he is making a whip and driving people out. But the quotation here in verse 17 from Psalm 69 tells us that this is exactly how Jesus should have been acting. Verse 17, his disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." That's taken from Psalm 69, verse 9. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm. There are a number of things in that psalm that we connect directly with Jesus, the life of Jesus. And so John is telling us this is exactly how the Messiah would have been acting on this occasion. He was driving these things out of his Father's house. Now, you take this one incident, which is somewhat isolated, and you contrast it to the way that Jesus reacted when he was being insulted, when he was being attacked, when he was being injured. Jesus put up with that, didn't he? Jesus tolerated, he was willing to tolerate the personal insults and injuries. But Jesus would not tolerate his Father being insulted. He defended his Father's honor. You know, that's a challenge for me. Do you and I have that kind of zeal for God? Do you and I have that kind of zeal for God the Father? How do we react whenever we hear people running down God? How do we react when we watch a comedian or we watch some television show making fun of God? How do we react when we hear God's name being used in vain? How would Jesus act? How would he react? Now, I don't want you to walk away from this study, or if you're listening to it online, to log off and say, that preacher over there at Knollwood says we need to get a whip, and we need to go and we need to work people over when they're dishonoring God. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we need to have that zeal for God, that it would be upset. We would be upset when we see God being dishonored. That's where that zeal came from for our Lord. It came from his honor for the Father. And let's learn from him. Let's learn from him and let's imitate that. But secondly, I see our Lord having a zeal for his Father's work. He had a zeal for his Father, for the honor of his Father, but he also had a zeal for his Father's work. What would you think of Jesus, who in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says that he has purified us as his own special people, zealous for good works? What would you think about a Lord who calls us to be zealous for good works, who himself was not zealous for good works? What do we call someone like that? A hypocrite, right? But Jesus was zealous for good works. Think about this. Jesus was able to do the greatest work this world will ever know in just 3 short years. He was able to perform enough miracles to adequately convince any honest person that he was the Son of God. He was able to train 12 men from different walks of life to be his apostles, his ambassadors after he left. And he kept himself pure and was able to be the perfect and final sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Jesus did the greatest work this world will ever know in a short amount of time. How? His work ethic. His work ethic. He was driven by passion. He was driven by zeal for the work that was set before him. What's interesting, as we look at the life of Jesus, we see that this started at an early age. Remember when Jesus was 12, his family took him to Jerusalem for the Passover. And after the Passover, they traveled back and they got a day's journey away from Jerusalem and realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And so they go back to Jerusalem, his mother and father, and search 3 days for him and finally find him in the temple. And there he is talking about the scriptures with the men in the temple, and they are amazed at this 12-year-old. And his mother says, why have you done this to us? We've been looking for you. And how does Jesus respond? Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? At the age of 12, what was his priority? Doing the Father's work. In the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus is starting his ministry, and Mark is the Gospel of action, written to the Romans, they would have responded well to the action of Jesus, so Mark gets to it very quickly. Here's Jesus starting his ministry. We read in verses 32 through 34 that from the house of Peter's from Peter's house, where he has healed Peter's mother-in-law, that all the people of that city bring all the sick and demon-possessed to him, and he stands in the doorway of that house that evening, and he heals all of them. Now, the next morning, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Notice, Jesus knew the importance of maintaining himself spiritually. He knew the importance of spending time alone with the Father in prayer, but he also knew the demands of his day. So he got up early and made time to go and be with the Father in prayer. Verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus said, well, let's go see him. No, that's not what he said. Here they've come to him. Everyone that you healed, everybody from last night, they're looking for you again today. And what does Jesus say? Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Jesus said, no, we're not going back. We're going to other places, to other towns. I've got work to do. So from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus got to work. I picture sometimes in my mind Jesus with these 12 apostles. They're just walking around Galilee, just taking it easy. No, they were busy. They were busy. They got to work. Now, here's another thing that we can see about our Lord's zeal for his Father's work, and that is looking at some statements that Jesus makes about his work from the Gospel of John. So we're going to spend the rest of our time going through the Gospel of John, and I want us to look at some statements that Jesus makes about his work and his work ethic. First, let's go to Sychar, where Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. It says that Jesus and his disciples, Jesus and the 12, they come to this city, and that's where Jacob's well is at, and the disciples leave him alone, and a woman from the city comes, and Jesus asks her to draw him some water. And most of us are familiar with this chapter. We know how this discussion unfolds and what it leads to. I want to point this out. If you look at verse 6, John chapter 4, verse 6 says that Jesus was wearied from his journey. So he's tired. They're dragging themselves into this town or outside this town. And also, if you look at verse 8, his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then after he talks with this woman, the disciples come back. Verse 31 says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? He's weary from his travel, so he's tired, and he's hungry. It's time to eat. But yet, here's this woman. She comes out to this well. And Jesus says, draw me a drink of water. And that begins that conversation, which ultimately ends in her realizing that he is the Christ, running back into the town, and all the men from the town coming out to him. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Here he is, he's tired, he's hungry, and yet he takes the time to talk to this woman. Why? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Here comes this woman out to the well to draw water. She only comes out once a day. This opportunity isn't going to present itself again. So I'm going to take advantage of it now. Wait, you're tired. You're hungry, Lord. You should be resting. You should be eating. No. Here's an open door of opportunity, and I've got to take it. I've got to take it now. That's my food, is to do the work that the Father has given me to do. In John chapter 6, the day after Jesus feeds the 5,000, the multitude comes to him again. We want more food. Why, Moses, he fed our fathers with bread from heaven, talking about manna, to which Jesus replies, I am the bread of life. And says, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Why did Jesus come to this earth? So we'd have a holiday in December and we can exchange gifts and sing carols? No. Jesus came to this earth to do his Father's will. That's what his life here on earth was all about. In John chapter 8 and at verse 29, Jesus says in verse 28, you're going to see the Son of Man lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. You Jews are going to abandon me as a cursed man, because the law of Moses said, cursed is anyone who is hanging on a tree. You're going to abandon me as one who is cursed, but my father is not going to abandon me. Then, and he who sent me is with me, verse 29. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Look at that last phrase. As we're talking about zeal and in defining what zeal is in a context for us as followers of Christ, zeal is a burning passion to please God. That's what zeal is, a burning passion to please God. What drove Jesus? A burning passion to please the Father. How many of us can say what Jesus says right here? Honestly, not a one of us. If we're honest with ourselves, not a one of us. But Jesus says, I always do those things that please Him. There was His zeal. John chapter 9 and at verse 4, when Jesus heals the man who is born blind, as they're walking out and encounter this man, the disciples say, well, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus says, no one sinned. Jesus says, this man is right here, right now, so that I can perform a miracle and I can show you who I am. Paraphrasing. But He makes this statement in John chapter 9 and verse 4 about His work ethic. And anytime I think about Jesus and His work, I always think of John 9 verse 4. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. There was a sense of urgency with our Lord about His work, because He had just 3 years to get it all done. And so we're going to do it, and we're going to do it now. So there was that sense of urgency there. And then in John chapter 17, when Jesus is offering this prayer, as He and His disciples are making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night, of course, that He is betrayed. John 17 and at verse 4, Jesus prays to the Father, I have glorified You on earth. Why is that? Because glorifying and honoring the Father is what drove Jesus. So I have glorified You on the earth. How did He do that? I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. I've finished it. Now the first quote that we looked at was that Jesus had to finish the Father's work. Here, I have finished it. That is, I have completed it. I have fulfilled it. I have perfected it. In just a few hours from this prayer, Jesus would be hanging on the cross. He would push Himself up with all the strength that He has to muster. And in John chapter 19 and at verse 30, He would say, it is finished. Then He would give up the ghost. He would give His life. All of His work would finally be done. He wasn't going to stop, though, until it was finished. He kept on. He kept going. Did Jesus, the meek and lowly and humble Lord, did Jesus have zeal? Yes, He did. And if you'll spend some time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that zeal. He had a burning passion to please the Father and to finish the work that He'd given Him. Where did this zeal come from? It came from His love for the Father, and His love for the Father's work. What does Jesus say to you and me? Jesus says to all of mankind, follow Me. Follow Me. And that doesn't mean let's just walk where He walked. We know that means that we are to follow His example. And His example is an example of zeal. It's controlled. He's humble when He needs to be humble. And He's tender when He needs to be tender. But behind every bit of it is a burning zeal, a desire to please His Father. We need to follow that example. We need to develop a love for the Father that will motivate us to always please and honor Him. And we need to develop a love for the Father's work, saving lost souls. We need to allow that to motivate us to serve God to the best of our ability. One comment very quickly. Remember in John chapter 9, when Jesus says, the night is coming when no one can work. Wouldn't it be better for you and I to serve the Lord the best we can now and be able to look back on a life full of service than to one day look back with regret, I wish I had done everything that I could? Jesus didn't have that regret. And you and I won't either if we'll imitate his zeal. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for so many, many reasons. But at this hour, we are thankful for the example of his zeal. We pray that you would open our hearts and you help us to learn more about the honor and the commitment that he had to glorify your name. And we would learn and appreciate more the love that he had for your work for him to do, realizing that we have been saved. We have been set aside to be zealous for good works ourselves. Forgive us where we fail, and help us to learn and to mature and to be better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.